time in the liturgical year dedicated to remembering the dead, including the saints who they called hallows, martyrs, and all the faithful departed. Secular theory gives us an indication that many of the Halloween traditions originated from Celtic harvest festivals, especially the Gaelic festival of what looks like Samhain, but is pronounced Samhain, which has pagan roots and was Christianized as Halloween or All Hallows Eve by the Christian church. Today's Halloween customs are thought to have been influenced by some folk customs and beliefs in Celtic-speaking countries throughout Ireland, Scotland, and the Highlands of England. Historian Nicholas Rogers notes that some folklorists have detected its origins in the Roman festival of Pomona, the goddess of fruits and seeds, or the festival of the dead called Parentalia. But it's Samhain, which comes from the Irish word for summer's end. Samhain marks the end of the harvest season and the beginning of winter, or the darker half of the year, where the boundary between this world and the other world thinned. This meant that spirits or fairies could more easily visit this world and were particularly active. The souls of the dead were also said to revisit their homes to seek hospitality. Places were set at a dinner table and a fire to welcome them. It's believed that the souls of the dead return home one night of the year and must be appeased, which has its ancient origins in cultures throughout the world. Throughout Ireland and Britain, the household festivities included rituals and games intended to foretell one's future, especially regarding death and marriage. Apples and nuts were often used in these rituals, and apple bobbing, nut roasting, and mirror gazing were also fun times that were had by all, if you want to call it that. There were smoke and ashes were thought to have protective and cleansing powers and were used for divination. Let's not forget that some of the practices of the church or practices in the church, which were actually pagan, were Christianized in order to allow for the converts to have some roots in their old religion. This is where the syncretism of the church came from, where they tried to blend pagan rituals with newer rituals and Christianize pagan behaviors. In Wales, bonfires were lit to prevent the souls of the dead from falling to earth and later thought to keep the devil away. Today's Halloween customs are thought to have been influenced by Christian dogma and practices because Halloween, or All Hallows Eve, or All Saints Day Eve, on the 1st of November, comes on the 1st of November. So All Hallows or All Saints Eve is the day before that, which is October 31st. All Souls Day is November 2nd, which is celebrating the lives of saints who had died, or notable people in biblical history who had died, or martyrs. So in a way, it gives rise to a celebration of the dead for their lives that they lived in the cultures of the ancient world. Most of the early church major feasts, such as Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost, had vigils on the night before, as did the Feast of All Hallows. These three days are collectively called All Hallowtide and were used for praying and honoring the saints, as well as the recently departed souls who are thought to have not yet reached heaven. Remember, in Catholic theology, there you don't go directly into heaven unless you have the what's called the beatific vision, where you see God and you go straight to God. Otherwise, you have to go through a period of purging of the unconfessed sins or the last sins that you had on the earth, which means that you would go to purgatory for a period of time that in which those sins would be purged. How it came to be in the Catholic calendar can be traced to Pope Gregory III founding it in an oratory for St. Peter's of the Apostles, Martyrs, and All Saints and Confessors, which was around 731 to 741 is when he reigned. In 835, it was switched to November 1st, which was the same date as Samhain at the behest of Gregory IV. Well, they were looking for a time of year where it would have been common to think of the dying of nature, which, you know, we're getting into fall now and we see the leaves falling off the trees. And in the summer, Rome couldn't accommodate the great number of pilgrims who would have been coming to Mass there. If by the end of the 12th century, it became a holy day of obligation across Europe, and ringing bells of the churches for the souls in purgatory. And it was customary for criers to dress in black to parade the streets and calling on good Christians to remember the souls of the dead. One thing that came out of this is the practice of hot cross buns. Now, we see these in bakeries all through the year, but particularly in Lent, soul cakes would be offered to the souls of the departed for them to eat, or soul, what was called soulers, S-O-U-L-E-R-S, who would act as their representative, also called sin eaters. These ancient people would were thought to be able to take on the sins of those who they were eating for by eating a feast and devouring their sins, which has no basis in the Bible or in fact. But Shakespeare mentions souling in The Two Gentlemen of Verona. You know, there are a lot of things that we can say that got their origination in pagan idolatry that have entered the church and have remained a tradition for one reason or another. In parts of Britain, however, these customs came under attack after the Reformation as Protestant reformers thought of purgatory as a popish doctrine incompatible with Christian teaching. So for nonconformists, which would include Baptists, Puritans, and others who didn't conform to the Church of England, which is more like Anglo-Catholicism, this calls for a redefinition of All Saints Day. In that regard, the Sunday before All Hallows Eve became known as Reformation Day, because on Halloween or October 31st, that was the day that Martin Luther nailed his 95 theses to the cathedral door at Wittenberg and started the Reformation. Some other Protestants maintained a belief in the intermediate state not necessarily as purgatory, but also known as Hades, the bosom of Abraham, and continued with the original customs that were brought from Catholicism, including the candlelit processions and the ringing of church bells in the memory of the dead. You know, while it's not a bad thing to remember those who have departed, taking it to the degree that you're going to march through the streets to remember them is a bit untoward and doesn't have any biblical warrant at all. One of the other things is that in the 19th century, in some rural parts of England, families gathered on hills on Halloween, burning straw with a pitchfork while praying for the souls of relatives and friends until those flames went out. Anglican colonists in the southern United States and Catholics in Maryland recognized All Hallows' Eve in their church calendars, while Puritans in New England had a strong anti-Halloween bias. Protestants regard Reformation Day as a day to remember the truth that came from the Reformation, and so All Hallows' Eve is not a big deal, but Reformation Day is. Some churches hold Reformation festivals or harvest festivals, like we're going to have tomorrow night, to give away candy to children and to preach the gospel. Some contemporary Protestant churches look at Halloween as a fun event and allow children to dress up. I'm sort of ambivalent personally, but I will use every opportunity to give a biblical, truthful representation of the gospel of Jesus Christ at any and every turn. And so when we gather for our harvest festival tomorrow, we'll give children a bag of candy, a tract, a cross, and a notice that we'll be starting children's church here in the near future. We need to understand our history as much as the church can, and as much as we can know it in our regular lives, our so-called secular lives. Those that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. But at the same time, we should look for opportunities to proclaim the cross in a way that gives glory to God and lets people know that they can be set free from the tyranny of sin and death. I hope you found this engaging and enlightening, and you can join us next week for another chapter in the book of Revelation, chapter 7.